we appear, it's just views from the nosebleeds, a real fan's perspective. Two guys, Chad and Chad.
No, you're not dreaming, folks. No, it's not 2020. It's 2022. We are back. We're still alive. So many things have happened. Obviously, it's been two freaking years. What's up, Chad?
Is this real?
This is real.
Are we actually doing a podcast again together?
The red button's going. It says recording. I think we're doing this.
Unbelievable. What a complete crazy 2 years we have had in our lives.
So many things have happened, so many updates to give. I think the number one thing is I had a kid.
Woo! Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Never thought that 2 years ago when this podcast would stop that would have been happening.
Unbelievable. So COVID baby.
COVID baby. She's doing awesome. Melanie. She'll nice be name. One in under a month. And it's just kind of crazy that it's already been a year.
Oh, they grew up so fast. I've had two of them and it's a blink of an eye. So
trying to enjoy every single moment of it.
Got it. Absolutely. That's good stuff. Excellent. Excellent. Anything else?
Oh, man. No, I mean, what hasn't happened?
Well, I guess I'll tell a little bit of what's happened to me. So COVID delayed a Scotland golf trip way back in 2020. I had it all set up. I was going to go with a bunch of buddies and we were going to go over and have a great time in Scotland. And of course, the pandemic came about March or April of that year and shut down everything. So we had to cancel everything. So delayed the trip. So delayed it because of COVID till 2022. And of course, we go through the pandemic, which has been just absolutely insane.
One thing after another.
And it can
strains popping up out of nowhere, changing and morphing.
Will the vaccines protect against one? Will it not? Will we get a booster? Should we get two? Should we shoot chlorine in our brains? I mean, We've had a lot of stuff happen in the last 2 years. So we postponed the Scotland trip, which had been planned for a couple of years, even prior to that.
Right.
So we decide we're going to replan it for 2022. And it did happen this year. And I took my wife and we had a nice time. We went to the Glasgow. We went down through the southern part of Scotland, having a wonderful time, seeing castles, trying to learn how to drive on the left side of the road and not die. So many different things. Playing golf in beautiful places on beautiful Scottish links course. So
with a
group of guys. Yep. No COVID. Ever had any COVID issues except for the one thing we have to get back to the States. So we have to clear, have a negative COVID test. No big deal. That's fine. Right. No big deal.
Sure.
So then we contract COVID in St. Andrews over in Scotland. Both my wife and I get COVID on the COVID delayed Scotland trip. So we have to scramble. Bottom line, messed up a few days of the trip and we had to be in masks most of the time. And then we had to delay it coming home, which cost us $3,000. Other than that, it was a wonderful trip. We had a great time. Beautiful though. Tell you that.
COVID delayed. Tried to wait until COVID was somewhat, done with or at least we know what to do with it. And of course, you guys get it while you're not even in your country.
So stupid. And really, it wouldn't have been a big deal 2 weeks later because then the government stopped the mandate to have to pass a test or prove that you haven't had COVID within a certain amount of time.
Yeah, that's just fantastic timing on your part.
Yeah. Well, the government seems to be doing a really great job right now. So.
Yes, the greatest.
But this isn't a political podcast.
No, it's not. So, but Let's get to the golf though over there. How is the golf over there?
Oh, so you hear all these things about Scotland and how you're going to go and it's going to feel like heaven and it's going to be a place that you never want to leave. The golf is wonderful. Now the weather's not good. They tell you that up front, you know, all that stuff, but all the rest of the stuff they tell you. So you build it up in your mind, and especially for a trip that's been delayed for like 4 years, you build it up, you build it up. And you always wonder before you go on that trip, have I built this up too much in my brain? Is it not going to meet the expectations? I'm telling you right now, and even with COVID, Scotland is unbelievably awesome. It's one of the most spectacular places I've ever been to. It's exactly what they say. It is as beautiful as what they say. In fact, even more beautiful. There's sheep everywhere. It's like stepping back in time, and the golf is just as pure as it gets. So it meets every single expectation and surpasses it.
Are there sheep like all over the course and stuff too?
There's a few. We played a golf course in Brora Golf Club, and we played there, and there were sheep grazing on the land. There was cows on the land. So a few of our holes one hole I had to play over multiple cows. One was on the green.
What?
Now, they do have electric fences around the greens, so most of the time that keeps the livestock off the greens and protects the greens. But this young cow, he somehow was smarter than the other cows. He's not your average cow. He made it past the wire, and we could not for the life of us try to get him out of there either, by the way. But yes, you play on Brora, which I think might be my favorite golf course on the planet Earth, in my opinion. It's wonderful.
He wanted to give you an extra challenge. He thought maybe more putt-putt was your style for this hole.
Well, I got a par, and I put it pretty close to the hole. I probably should have made the birdie. But yeah. Spectacular golf. It Scotland is everything it has been said to be. If you're a golfer, you got to go there before you die.
Yeah, that would be amazing to go out there. Is that the birthplace of golf too?
Birthplace, yep. And you're talking about, so like some of these golf clubs have been established in the late 1800s. So these are very, very old golf courses. But the grounds themselves have been playing. They've been playing golf there for 400 or 500 years.
That's so insane. You could just feel the history.
Years. Yeah, and though the inside of most buildings are more modern, the outsides though are the same. They all look kind of the same, kind of old look, stone or stucco type of look. It's pretty cool.
That's cool. That's
yeah,
cool.
It's cool. And the That's food cool there, that- man, it's great. Don't. Here's one thing I'll say. For those golfers that are going to think about going over to Scotland and spending 2 weeks or a week or whatever, everybody talks about, should I have the haggis? Everybody does. You know this. I've even talked about haggis and how it's the main dish of Scotland. So I'm telling you guys out there that are scared of what is in haggis, it is very, very tasty.
What is this thing? Is it meat? What is this?
So it's like
haggis.
You really don't know what haggis? I thought you knew what haggis was.
No, so, I'm not sure.
All right. So haggis is a delicacy, like a dish over there in Scotland. And it's made of it's like a I'm gonna read it from Wiki so that you guys know exactly what it is. Savory pudding contains sheep pluck, which is heart, liver, and lungs, minced with onions.
Ooh,
oatmeal.
Organs.
Yep. Onions, minced with onion, oatmeal, suet, spices, and salt.
Suet.
Mixed with stock and cooked while traditionally encased in an animal stomach.
What in the world?
Yes.
This thing sounds ridiculous.
Doesn't it sound disgusting?
I mean, it sounds crazy. Some parts sound okay, and then I don't know. And then you're throwing in organs, and then you're cooking it in an organ.
I'm telling you, for those people that are even thinking, I don't know if I can try the haggis. Just eat it. Just order a traditional Scottish breakfast. It'll be on the plate more than likely, and try it. I'm telling
it's like
you,
it
is
looks
fantastic.
Like a potato kind of thing.
Well, no, you got to cut it up. So it's eaten cut up. And actually, if you're looking at the Wikipedia page, it's the third picture down. And that black stuff you see there, that black kind of, it looks like rice almost.
Yeah, like rice or something.
Yeah, or like a rice dish or something like that.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. I had it on multiple occasions because then the first night I said, I want to try it the first night. So if I like it, I'll have it multiple times here in Scotland.
It does look pretty good with that next to some potatoes.
Yep.
Some mashed potatoes.
Yep. And they eat turnips over there too a lot of times.
Haggis.
Yep. So we had the haggis. It is delicious. So don't be scared, golfers that are going to make their pilgrimage over to Scotland from the United States. They'll go over there, and I'm telling you, most of them are going to talk about it. They're going to be scared to do it, and they're going to get their buddies to talk about it and do it together. It's going to taste delicious. So do it early in your trip so you can have more of it later.
Don't naggy on the haggy. Eat some have haggy.
It. Have it. You won't be sorry.
You say for breakfast?
You can have it for any meal. I had it for breakfast, and I had it for dinner.
Some eggs with that too.
Absolutely. Eggs, and they have these their bacon is like a slide of a side of, you know, ham.
Yeah,
a slice of it, you know.
Yeah.
So that's how they eat their bacon. And then they have these potato scones and stuff too. It's just good. It's a very good food. It's probably not good for you. But it's good.
No,
because there's sausage
too. Every meal, yeah. It looks very hearty. If you look at the pictures, it looks very big and hearty.
It does, but you're talking about a country where it's a very active country. These guys are shepherds and they're farmers and they're, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. They're working it off.
They'll work it off.
You can't even use a golf cart on the golf courses, right?
Very limited. Most of the places are walking, and the only way you can really get on is if you prove that you've got some kind of illness or ailment.
Yeah. No John Daly's.
No John Daly's. Actually, John Daly might have been able to because John had some problems, you know, kind of walking and because that's what one of our friends had, the same problem, and he got a cart a couple rounds when he had that possibility. Actually, my wife drove the cart for one of the guys on one of the rounds.
Did he have a special card or something he had to show or something like that?
No idea. Didn't watch him, but I know he was in a cart. So,
yeah. Interesting.
Yep. Beautiful place. Sheep everywhere. Lots of old ruins, castles. Phenomenal countryside. It's just beautiful. It's a wonderful place. I will go back.
Bucket list for sure.
Definitely.
So, as we talk about the state of golf, I mean, is there anything else that you want to update the people as we've been gone for 2 whole years?
Yeah. So, well, as most of you know, if you're sports fans, if you're not, there has been a massive battle, war, if you will, in the world of golf, professional golf right now. The golf world has been dominated for a long time by the PGA Tour. PGA Tour has pretty much done what they wanted. They have dominated the landscape, pretty much telling golfers that this is where you got to come play. And if you don't come play here, what are you going to do? You're going to go to a lower level, or there's nothing else. There's just nothing else.
Yeah. And when you would think about it, like, I wouldn't even think of anything else. Like, that's just where, like, you would go, honestly. Correct. I never really would have thought of another company or group of individuals wanting to start up another company.
Right. So they dominated the landscape for a long time. There's a European tour that's now called the DP World Tour. And they now, the rumblings were last year that the Saudi Arabians, we're going to fund a coup, if you will, of professional golf. And this has now come to fruition. This is a new business company that has lured away some major names from the PGA Tour. Dustin Johnson, Patrick Reed, Phil Mickelson, who had his own controversies last year. We can't even, I mean, we could take a whole podcast to just talk about. So a bunch of these really good players. Bubba Watson now is going to be going. Louis Oosthuizen, Ian Poulter, Lee Westwood. Huge names in the world of golf. Huge names. And even other guys like Cam Smith that are now rumored to be heading to this new rival league, who has already had like three, I think, events. Each event is being paid to the winner $4 million. To my knowledge, the highest amount of money that any tournament in the on the PGA Tour, whether it be major or not major, is like, I don't even know. I think it's like close to $3 million, maybe less. And this new tour is going to pay. Not only do they pay their athletes, also the golfers are paid up front to sign with this new company called Live Golf. So they all get money up front, and they get money like similar to sign-on bonus for the NFL, or sign-on bonus or guaranteed money in football, or a bigger contract in baseball. I mean, that's what professional sports is. You play for money, and
freaking
you gotta get paid.
Freaking $4 million for the first couple of tournaments. That's crazy.
Yeah, so they're paying their guys twice as much money, almost twice, definitely twice as much money, maybe four times as much money as some just normal tournaments on the PGA Tour right now. And so these guys are going, and it's fractured pro golf. It's fractured the highest level of pro golf. If you think of the two biggest names in golf in my lifetime, okay, I'm just talking my lifetime and my watching of life, and I'm 45. In my lifetime, there's been two major names, and one has been Tiger Woods, and one has been Phil Mickelson.
Yeah.
Those are the two biggest names in the sport right now,
and they've
probably in my lifetime.
And they've gone completely opposite on this thing.
Totally opposite. Yeah. Phil Mickelson has gone to Live Golf. He now competes on that tour. Tiger Woods, who, though injured, has put his wagon 100% behind the PGA Tour. In fact, having a players-only meeting this week about this.
Right.
So,
right.
And these guys that have left the tour now and have played three very lucrative and events and have been compensated big time, now they want to come back and play on the PGA Tour. So they have filed a motion in court to say that the PGA Tour is trying to deliberately end Live Golf and the ability for these golfers to go to Live Golf and be – it is an antitrust case of law where – is there a monopoly here by the PGA Tour? Are they doing things to keep Live Golf completely off the map for monopoly purposes? And these guys are hating each other now. The guys that have gone to Live, the guys that are still in PGA Tour, it's constant Twitter talk. It's constant banter. I'm telling you, what I would do if I was in charge of the PGA Tour, I know we're not talking about this, so I'm going to give you my 2 cents.
Mm-hmm.
You take this and you play them. Events that you play together. The best thing for golf is, I know people look at this as a bad thing. When this all happens and it all shakes out, when you have the PGA Tour, the best in the PGA Tour, the guys that are in the best ending of the FedEx Cup, and the top guys in that go and play the Live Tour, top guys for that, one-on-one, $10 million to the winner. You're telling me that sports wouldn't be like golf wouldn't be better to watch if that was not the case?
I just don't know why you would lock out all these guys. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't do good for the game.
It may not be unless you think of what I'm talking about.
Well,
there's a rivalry between the two leagues, and then somehow they come to an understanding that we're going to be separate leagues. We
right.
agree to this. We agree that everybody gets their own world ranking points. And we agree that every four times a year, we're all going to play on the same field.
I mean, yeah, that could be interesting.
You're telling if let's say you do that, tell me how much more excitement would happen at the majors.
Well, how are the majors going to work? Would all the LIV guys be able to play the majors?
Currently,
is the PGA going to try to lock them out? What's going on there?
Currently, they are together, still allowing LIV Golf and PGA Tour golfers to play. I think eventually they will have to let everybody play in those majors. They're not sanctioned by either one of these companies officially, so they can do what they want. But I think for the integrity of those events specifically, the majors, if you want them to really still be majors, you're going to have to take guys from both leagues.
Yeah, there's no way you can lock out anybody. If you're going to call it a major, you got to have it open to everybody.
Yeah. So yeah. This is going to be – this. I'll tell you, if people listen to people like me, though, this may be good for the game. If you take half of the good players, now you won't get good stuff all the time, but you know what you're going to get? When they do play each other, you're going to get must-see TV.
Maybe, but I mean, as long as these guys keep getting paid so much on the LIV Tour, what is the PGA going to do to be able to keep any of these guys? And then you have so many, you know, guys on one side or the other that it doesn't matter when they come together.
Well, the one thing the PGA Tour has done, they've already changed up next year. So the season's going to be different. There's going to be more money available, which ironically is what Phil Mickelson had a problem with, too, with the PGA Tour. Like, they had more money than they were saying. Does make you wonder.
Right.
Does make you wonder. And some of this is going to come out in court, by the way.
Well, I mean, they can't be telling all lies. Like, if he's not telling the whole truth, like, they're sprinkling in little truths, you know.
I'm just saying that when you open up these cases, though, for information to go for these type of antitrust cases, I mean, they can open up a lot of stuff and check on you.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So this could be very interesting for the PGA Tour. But I knew from the beginning that, first off, if you pay professional athletes or professional golfers more money in one league than another, it's a no-brainer. I don't care where the money comes from, by the way. You're telling me that all the money that goes into the professional athlete's pocket right now is all clean money?
No, we probably shouldn't talk about where our owners from all individual teams get money from.
Exactly. So my thing would be is probably just shut your mouths. Let this thing happen and happen as it does. There's going to have to be a compromise of some kind. A super league, I don't know what's going to happen. But or what I am saying is going to happen. There's going to be guys that choose to be on the PGA Tour. There's going to be guys, because the PGA Tour they have more nostalgia. They have more legacy involved in their tour. There are courses there that have been played every year for the last 50 years, almost sometimes at the same places.
And that's the battle right now.
So
basically, money versus, you know,
legacy,
history and prestige.
Absolutely. And Tiger has chosen to say, I'm on the side of legacy, on the side of history.
Well, sure.
But I will say this.
Sure.
Yeah, Tiger Woods is a billionaire.
Yeah, if out of anybody, he's in the best position ever to just be like, nah, screw you guys.
Yeah. So, and Tiger is a billionaire, and he would have been a billionaire if he played on the European Tour. Probably. You know, he didn't have to play in the United States. He could have played anywhere. And he chose to come and play on the PGA Tour in America. Of course, because it's the best pro tour. But when you take half the good players, or a third of the good players even, and you move them to another tour, and they don't play the same tournaments, it hurts both tours. But what it would do, it would allow for the majors of golf, if they do allow everybody to play in them, the majors would be major. It would be different. Because then it would be almost like the World Series of golf, four times a year.
It'll be interesting for sure. It'll be interesting.
So we'll see. I don't know.
It'll be interesting if, man, I just, Do you think the biggest question is if they will be able to survive, or if somebody collapses, that'll be interesting to see.
I hope for golf's sake that neither one of these entities collapses. I think it's going to be good for rivalries. I think there could be more. What I hope to happen is more collaboration between the PGA Tour and LIV. I mean, now that you have two tours and two really like good tours, these are good tours, by the way. I don't care what people are saying about these old guys or whatever. This is a good tour, especially if Cam Smith is going to come to the LIV Tour. So it'll have potentially the number one player in the world. He still can win the FedEx Cup this year because he hasn't been kicked off the tour like a lot of these guys.
On the LIV Tour, I don't know what people are talking about.
Plenty. Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, plenty. Plenty of fun.
Plenty. Tons of them. And wait till Jordan Spieth. He's not going to come, I don't think.
That would rock the world again, the golf world again.
If Jordan Spieth was to go to the LIV Tour, I think it might be the death of the PGA Tour as being the best, the major tours. Jordan Spieth is still that popular with everybody.
Oh, yeah.
If Jordan starts to win again, then the PGA Tour has a chance. Rory winning, that's great too, but it's different. It's different when Rory does it than when Jordan does it. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a nationalism kind of thing where we're going for Jordan because he's from America. I don't know what it is, but I know when Jordan Spieth is out there and he's in contention, the world is interested for some reason with this guy.
Yeah. No, I think the whole world will be watching.
Yep.
So let's go back to Scotland because I want to connect something. Something that's going to be over there pretty soon is going to be the next WWE pay-per-view Clash at Clash at the Castle.
Yes.
And the few times, you know, well, since I've had my daughter, we've seen each other a little bit more. And but we got together for like a little family reunion type thing for vacation this summer in Tennessee, and we got to watch the SummerSlam together, which is funny how those line up.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, recently we've been able to get together for we just time it up, and the pay per views end up being when you're coming to see me. It's funny.
Yep. And it's been that way a few times now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yep.
So the next time you're coming out, just hanging out to see everybody, it'll be almost Melly's birthday. Yeah. And Clash of the Castle will be happening. And I think the biggest match, obviously, is going to be Drew versus Roman Reigns. And if there's any time for the belt to come off, it would have to be then, I would think. This man, I don't know how many days he's held this thing, but it's got to be like 400 plus days.
It's been a long time. I think it's one of the longest reigns of all time.
And you would think them going over to Wales, hopefully Drew McIntyre, if he does win, the roof will fly off of that place. If there's a roof over there. I don't know if it's outdoor or not.
Yeah, I don't know either. The last one wasn't. The SummerSlam.
Right.
I'm telling you, I don't think he loses. I think – here's the thing. Drew McIntyre is going to – he's not going to be like – I don't even know what to say. He's not going to be bigger because he wins. But Roman would be. In fact, you could establish Roman as one of the greatest, if not the greatest wrestler of all time, or in that conversation. If he beats Drew McIntyre in Wales.
If he beats them over there, or beats him over there, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, it would solidify him as one of the greatest of all time. I mean, yes. He already is, for sure.
He is. And there's ways that Drew can come out of it and look really good, too. So I think it's going to be that kind of a match. I think both of these guys are elite of elite. I mean, you're talking about two huge humans. And they can move and do things that It's just incredible. That's the one thing I don't understand. I know some of the people that are going to listen to this podcast are like, oh, geez, we're talking professional wrestling here. So just give the show a chance and watch how athletic these guys are at one of these pay-per-views. It's not even pay-per-views anymore, but
premium live event.
Premium live events.
But
they are – I mean, it's incredible what the stuff they can do and survive. It's just a great show.
Not only – is the stunts and the athleticism that they do is amazing. You're going to see things that you've never seen before. Like we saw Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns.
Oh my.
He's out there with a freaking tractor last premium live event, picking up the corner or the whole side of the ring. Literally, it's incredible sight just to behold.
It was like I didn't even really completely comprehend what I was watching.
It was incredible. We found out Hornswoggle is not all under there, but it is incredible what they come up with. I never thought I would see that. And then, it took so many shots to the head, and still Lesnar could not win.
It was great seeing Paul Heyman, though. Take that bump through the table. I'm telling you, man, that guy
yes.
He's special good.
For
those
of
you that are not
time.
Like soaking up his shtick and his character, I mean, instant Hall of Famer, by the way.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Instant. I mean, he's just good. He's good at everything he does when it comes to professional wrestling. That's just the truth.
It's 110% every time he's out there. That's how much he gives.
He cares about the product down deep in his soul. He cares about the product like Vince does.
Yep. And speaking of Vince, no more Vince. Triple H is now running things, which obviously I haven't been watching week to week, but it'll be fun to see what the video packages are when we watch Clash at the Castle.
I hope they're good. I hope if the things that he did back in the day, he settled with the women got paid for that. I don't condone that. I don't.
Vince, you're talking Vince.
Vince, yeah. Yeah. If that happened and he paid for it out of his own pocket, again, I'm not the moral police here. It was his pocket. He probably shouldn't have been doing things like that. I don't ever believe that you should ever do anything to a woman that's over what she is expected and consenting to. But you're talking about a long time. Money was paid to these women. It's bad. I'm glad it was found. But the truth is that Vince McMahon is the ultimate number one. I agree, John Cena, totally. He's the only one on Mount Rushmore when it comes to wrestling.
Oh, yeah. He's the biggest.
Period. Period.
You would think, too, that he probably wasn't going to be around much longer anyways.
It's just unfortunate how he went out. It reminds me of kind of the way that Joe Paterno. You know, Joe Paterno did a lot of really good things, by the way. And he just did a lot of really not smart things at the end. It's just too bad. It's unfortunate that guys make decisions or we find out, and maybe that's what it is. We find out that they weren't as good as they were. But in the end, their legacy is what it is.
It's just like the dirty money. You don't want to know where these owners are making money. You probably don't want to know everybody's past.
But I don't agree in the cancel culture either. I mean,
right.
We all have things that we're not proud of in our past. So now assaulting women, it's unacceptable. And if that's what happened, or if there was rape or something like that. But I'll tell you this, I'm not going to convict him of that based on what someone says. That's not fair. Someone could say anything.
Right.
So I just want to make sure that, you know, he hasn't been convicted of a crime. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, Vince McMahon's not the best person in the world, but damn, he was fantastic for the world of professional wrestling, specifically the world wrestling entertainment business.
And his motto, then, now, and forever, it's going to be moving on in his family. And I don't think that company is going anywhere anytime soon.
No.
With AEW, honestly, it's just getting better.
It is. And again, you know, you're looking back and how this is relevant to the previous conversation about golf. Do you see how this makes it better for the fans?
Yes, of course.
There's no question. There is no question that LIV Golf and how much money they're paying their guys and how much money they're paying for tournaments to be played in. I'm telling you, there's something to that. And yeah. I understand people have a problem with where the money came from, but that is big. When you're playing for $4 million, it is more important than playing for $2 million. I don't give a shit where you're playing.
Yeah, it's better for the product, that's for sure.
And it's better for the fans because we now have a rivalry. We have an option. We have multiple places to go for this content, and we can enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think people are not missing that aspect of it. This could be very good for the fans and for golf as a whole, especially if, let's say, WWE and AEW come together. And I'm telling you, I'm feeling rumblings.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm feeling rumblings, just so you're aware. I like to keep my feelers out in the world of wrestling in various forums and things and what is listened and heard. I believe Triple H would be more interested in discussing a cross-business or cross-company type production between the Khans and himself or Stephanie. I'm just telling you.
That's huge. That is huge.
Because they're already – the AEW is already doing that with multiple different companies. Mm-hmm. Ring of Honor.
Yeah. Well, doing at least it with they could Japan. Do that. They could share – yeah, they could all share the wrestlers. Yeah.
Yeah, and there wouldn't have to be any title matches. You don't have to do that. But no, how much no. big – how huge would
so you could move
be?
The title around and you could see the AEW title or WWE title on the other show.
Sure.
Because that's
sure.
what they do.
Yeah, and how would that be bad for wrestling? And I'm telling you, I think Hunter is smarter than, and when it comes to the what fans want part of this, than Vince was. Vince was great. He created characters that will be icons, not only in the world of professional wrestling, but actually outside the normal world. People know who The Undertaker is. People know who Hulk Hogan is. People know who Andre the Giant is. And I don't care who you are. You know who those three guys are.
That's for
sure.
And
that was Vince. And his father a little bit with Andre. But, I mean, it was Vince. Mostly Vince.
Goat, for sure.
Definitely. The only one on Mount Rushmore, according to John Cena. And I agree.
That's crazy.
That's what John said.
Well, should we start wrapping this thing up? I know we're trying to keep it around 30 minutes.
Well, and so we talked about it a little bit. We're gonna be going back to the old format. We're gonna be talking about best thing we saw in sports, worst thing, and sometimes best and worst can be from anywhere. Maybe sports is boring because it's the middle of August and no baseball really matters. So, I mean, basically, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but in multiple divisions, if it weren't for the wild card, we'd be all snoozing through this season. So, I mean.
Oh, I know. Yeah, no, the way that baseball has expanded in the wild card, it's way better now.
Way better. And there is, you know, you just happen to be, I think, in one of the divisions or your team where it actually is kind of more interesting a little bit. But, let me see if I can find the standings here just to make sure I'm speaking correctly. Yeah, so like the Yankees have a 10-game lead right now over Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Cleveland, man, it's AL Central is interesting because nobody's good. So when you have an entire division of nobody good, then you actually have a few teams that might have a chance. But Houston's dominating the West and the AL, and the Mets are doing well. So that's a good matchup there between the Braves and the Mets. So that's interesting. But overall, they're blowouts. Then the Brewers still have a chance against St. Louis in the Central. That's still, and then there's the wild card. But overall, this is a complete debacle. And now I think you're seeing the Yankees even taking some time off. By the way, mentally.
I don't know what they're doing. They're what did they have lost the last 10 out of the last 13 games?
And, yeah.
Yeah.
So You know, they're good though, and I think what they're doing is just taking some time off.
It's like their rest period. Like it's their mental off, but it's like how in the NBA you'll have LeBron sit for like five games in a row or something like that.
Exactly, and because right now, just to mind boggle everybody on here, if you have any kind of baseball knowledge, right now there's two teams that are absolutely bludgeoning everybody else, and that's the LA Dodgers, who will. I mean, they're the best team in baseball, but the best other team in baseball in the American League is the Yankees. And those two teams are the Yankees are plus 196 in runs scored. And the LA Dodgers are, now get this, and 198 is, what did I say, 197, 198, 196. That's great. That's great. You have, that means you have more runs scored than your other team, 196. The Dodgers, though, 249 more than their opponent.
Jeez.
Dominating. So we have a lot we can talk about next week with sports and things, but we're going to, we're going to go back to the old format and kind of mix in some stuff about sports and not. So,
oh, yeah. We'll be back to the best, worst, and craziest and bringing our topics. And I'm sure as things go, you know, whatever other topics, if one thing has to take over a show, but we're back, guys. We'll be back next week. We're going to try to record these every Thursday. But we're just going to make sure we get these out weekly.
Yep, we're committed to it again, and thank you all for listening. Sorry about the absence. You know, we appreciate your listenership, and we're hoping to make sure this is more of a weekly thing and rock and roll here. We'll have some fun.
For sure, for sure. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
This has been Views from the Nosebleeds with Chad and Chad. Join us next time for more real fans' perspectives.